The number of electric vehicle charging stations available to the public could double if a pair of bills passed the legislature. It's Tuesday, November 27th, and this is Wisconsin Today. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, Governor Tony Evers has been using a government email address under an alias, and it's raising questions around open records practices. And food service workers at Lambeau Field are voting on whether or not to unionize. Stay with us.
Agriculture, healthcare, education, you know what's going on in Wisconsin thanks to the Wisconsin Today podcast. And thanks to you, these stories are available to Wisconsinites everywhere. Give now at wpr.org/givewitoday.
A pair of Republican lawmakers hope to give Wisconsin access to nearly $80 million in federal funding for electric vehicle charging infrastructure. As Joe Schultz reports, the proposal could nearly double the number of charging stations available around the state.
State Senator Howard Markline and Representative Nancy Vandermeer hope to eliminate red tape for businesses operating electric vehicle charging stations. Current state law requires businesses billing customers for the amount of electricity used to be regulated as utilities. The proposed legislation seeks to change that. The state could lose out on federal dollars without the change. Markline says he's optimistic the proposal will reach the governor's desk.
We have invested an incredible amount of time in putting this bill together, and we think we've got the support of an incredible number of both public and private sector organizations.
Lawmakers hope to introduce the bills in December. Joe Schultz, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Governor Tony Evers has been conducting state business on a government email address under the alias of a famous Milwaukee Braves pitcher. The conservative website Wisconsin Right Now reported that Evers has used an account with the name Warren Spahn for years. The outlet said an open records request for the account returned more than 17,000 results. A spokesperson for Evers says high-level dignitaries, including the governor, first lady, and lieutenant governor, have used alias emails as, quote, digital security measure for years. Wisconsin Transparency Project President Tom Kamenick says using an alias doesn't seem illegal and is likely a way to avoid spam. He says with the Spahn email now public, he expects the governor's office will use another alias.
It's always a bit of a whack-a-mole game. You get victories in the open records law, and they're wonderful, and very often a secondary effect of the victory is that the government custodians figure out a way to work around it.
An email sent to the Warren Spahn account on Monday bounced back. University of Wisconsin-Madison researchers say new technologies that remove carbon dioxide from the atmosphere need to be developed faster. As Danielle Kading reports, recent studies say they're needed to meet climate goals that limit global warming.
Carbon dioxide removal refers to methods like planting trees that directly eliminate those emissions from the atmosphere. UW-Madison researchers found only about 2 billion tons of carbon dioxide are being removed each year, mostly through trees. The study's lead author and professor Greg Nemeth says new technologies make up even less, at about 2 million tons eliminated each year.
We're at 1/1000th of the scale of what we're already doing with trees, and about 1/1000th of the scale of where we need to get to in the next 30 years.
Nemeth says those technologies would have to grow at a rate of about 40% per year to meet climate goals. While that's fast, he says their research shows it's possible. Danielle Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Service workers at Lambeau Field are scheduled to participate in a formal union election this weekend. It'll determine if they'll gain representation. The workers are employed by Delaware North, the Green Bay Packers food service partner. Many game day positions are done by volunteers, but Delaware North employs around 70 vendors in the concourses who sell beverages. In September, a majority of workers told the company they were organizing. Delaware North requested an election the next month. Peter Rickman is a Milwaukee area organizer who's helping those workers unionize.
Folks are looking at this election with some resolve to try to win it, but this is a stacked deck. It's an uneven playing field, and it's not the way that Lambeau workers should be treated, and frankly doesn't square with the values of the Green Bay Packers.
The team declined to comment, and Delaware North did not respond to requests for comment. Many deaths on small Wisconsin dairy farms are never investigated. Coming up, All Things Considered host Brady Carlson chats with ProPublica reporter Melissa Sanchez about how a federal agency handles these situations. Stay with us.
You know you can count on WPR for news that's important, music that makes your day better, and conversations that make you think. We hope you'll make a financial contribution to support the radio service you rely on. And in fact, we count on it. The single largest portion of our budget comes from listener support. If you're not a member yet, make a gift of any amount today at WPR.org. Thank you.
And finally, since 2009, there have been at least 17 deaths among workers on Wisconsin's small dairy farms, and nearly half of those were not investigated by the Federal Occupational Safety and Health Administration. Melissa Sanchez is a reporter at ProPublica. She's been reporting on safety in Wisconsin's dairy industry. Sanchez spoke with All Things Considered host Brady Carlson on what they've uncovered.
Melissa, to start, let's look at a recent case. In March 2023, Florencio Gomez Rodriguez drowned after he drove a skid steer into a 14-foot-deep pond filled with manure on the dairy farm where he worked. Why was there, after this tragedy, apparently no OSHA investigation?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's the reason why we wound up reporting this story. So OSHA has been around since the 70s, but basically right when it started, Congress put a special exemption into place that they build every year that exempts small farms from inspections. And so farms with fewer than 11 workers and farms that don't have what's called the temporary labor camp do not get inspected by OSHA. So in this case, an OSHA inspector went out the morning after Florencio died and turned around and left after less than an hour after discovering that the farm had only 7 or 8 workers. So that's generally what happens on small farms, but we looked into this because of the temporary labor camp issue and housing.
And because that reasoning has been given in a number of other cases, you looked at this and you found that in these cases where OSHA said, well, there's no temporary housing exemption to give us the authority to investigate here, it wasn't always as simple as that sounded.
So across Wisconsin, dairy farms routinely provide housing to immigrant workers. Housing can be on site, housing can be at an apartment nearby, but it's pretty standard, and many of these workers are undocumented. And what we found in OSHA's own records is that over the years, OSHA has repeatedly called this type of housing a temporary labor camp, which would give it a jurisdiction to inspect. But OSHA has not been consistent to this interpretation. And so in the case of Florencio, even though he lived in a house down the road with a bunch of other workers, the house was provided by his employer, OSHA did not inspect the farm. And we asked OSHA about this, like, why didn't you inspect when there was housing? And OSHA initially said that the inspector who went to visit didn't find housing. But even after we told them about the housing and provided evidence about it, they said that there was no temporary labor camp. So it's very confusing, and OSHA has been very inconsistent about what it calls a temporary labor camp.
As you mentioned, the workers that you highlighted in this piece were all undocumented, something that was largely known by the employers. How does being undocumented heighten risks for farm workers?
One of the obvious things is language. We've written a lot about language in the past, but often farmers and their workers can't communicate with each other. And what winds up happening is that workers aren't trained properly because they don't speak the same language on things from how to use a skid steer properly to just basic safety issues. So that comes up a lot. If you're undocumented, you're a lot less likely to speak up or complain about safety issues or other problems for fear of job loss or fear of deportation. Undocumented folks end up having a lot of debt when they come to the U.S., so they're incentivized to work a lot of hours. And so they frequently work 70 to 80 hours, which makes you exhausted and more likely to be in situations that are risky when you're so tired. There's a lot of reasons, but a lot of people don't even know that OSHA exists, so they don't know what their rights are. And farmers know that their workers are undocumented. It's sort of this open secret, and unscrupulous farmers can use that to their advantage.
What's the response been to this reporting here in Wisconsin?
So we've heard from attorneys, from advocates, and from workers a lot of surprise that OSHA had ever inspected injuries or deaths on small farms. I think a lot of people in Wisconsin and across the country have really who care about worker safety were shocked that OSHA had found a way in Wisconsin to do its job on small farms, and also disappointment that OSHA has been inconsistent about it. We've spoken to even like the higher ups, former higher ups in OSHA, who had no idea that OSHA had ever done this. So I think what we're hearing from folks is confusion about what OSHA is doing and a desire for more clarity about whether it would continue to view this type of housing as a temporary labor camp, and some more consistency too.
Melissa Sanchez is a reporter at ProPublica. She spoke with All Things Considered host Brady Carlson. You can learn more about ProPublica's reporting at WPR.org. And that'll do it for this Tuesday. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producers today were John Davis and Mallory Chang. We'll show up right back here in your podcast feed again tomorrow morning, and we'll do it automatically if you just click that subscribe button. Until then, have a great day. We'll talk to you again soon.